In the Bachelor Championship, Kelce versus Daisy gave us a title card fight for the ages, but in the end, Joey makes the tough decision to go to the Big Easy with Kelce. So how did Kelce finally gain the upper hand from Daisy? What kind of legacy did they and Joey leave behind in the annals of the Bachelor Cinematic Universe? And it was the shot o'clock heard around the world when Jen was announced as the first ever Asian-American Bachelorette. Can Jen fill Charity's big high heels? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone. Hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America.
And Daniel A. Duddy.
Guys, I have got a hell of a story for you for Left Unsaid can only be on Left Unsaid.
I'll give you a little context for this. Wally, I was texting you like a maniac last night when I was watching the episode saying, oh my God, this is, you know, spoiler alert, incredible TV, yada, right. Yada. And then I texted Duddy, you watching this? And I didn't get anything back for a little while. And then I heard back from him and he said, I just got out of the ER. And I said, oh my God, dude, I was like, are you okay? And he goes, neighbor talk. I was like, holy shit. What a fucking bleed berry. Crazy stuff. Oh. We're going to talk about it on Left Unsaid.
And this is rated X.
Wow.
Oh, that's the best hook we ever had for Left Unsaid, which if you don't know, that's where you get all your exclusive Bachelor Zone content, bonus content, that is. That's over on our Patreon, patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. And as you alluded to, Zach, one hell of a championship game last night. Just so much to talk about, so much to get into. Let's dive right in with our headlines brought to you by Spiritual Cleanses, Sweat It and Forget It. So headed into this championship game, Daisy was number one in the AP polls and had been since week two. But for much of that stretch, since week five to be exact, Kelce was just behind Daisy in the number two spot in the polls. And the race was so close that it felt like a coin flip. That is up until Daisy's last chance date, when it became clear to her, the studio audience, and everybody watching at home that Kelce basically had this one in the bag. And Kelce went on to keep Daisy at bay and clinch the title by putting up one of her signature performances in her last chance date. So, guys, Kelce finally gains and secures the upper hand against Daisy in this tournament. How'd she do it?
I think we forgot about one thing in this show and in competitive dating in general when we were being so high on Daisy. Is that it's a two-person street, you know? It's a two-person game. One of the people has to be on board for it, and the fact that Joey, his heart wasn't in it, and she's such an incredible competitor and such a dynamo, and we're just going to harp on, spoiler alert, everyone, we're going to harp on Daisy for a while in this episode because she's amazing. She saw it so well that she was like, she's like, oh, yeah, I don't have this because Joey doesn't want to give it to me, and at the end of the day, as fickle as the game may seem, that is what it's about. And I think if anything, if I had to put it onto any failing of Daisy, I couldn't. What I will give is Kelce's ability to stay positive. It's not that Daisy was negative at all at any point until the very, very end when she saw the writing on the wall. But prior to that, in the last few weeks, Kelce was, looking at the game tape, a ray of sunshine the entire time.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to look at the footage and say that Daisy did anything wrong this past week, especially because by Daisy's own admission, she could tell the script had flipped during Fantasy Suites. You know, after Rachel was eliminated, she said that Kelce and Joey shared a look that Daisy immediately knew. Oh, shit, I'm cooked. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would have to go back to Fantasy Suites. I'd have to go back to Kelce's letter that we panned, that, you know, we completely dogged on her for. I think rightly so, but maybe wrongly so, because that, you know, what we saw as a flub was actually a fumble rooski, you know, to bring her over the goal line. So just, I guess my hat's off to her, and we got to go back to punditry school.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I agree with you guys 100% that Daisy has nothing to hang her head about. She had one hell of a season. She's going to be an MVP candidate when we do our Batchy Awards, and she played her ass off all the way to the final whistle. And secondly, I'm glad that you brought up the letter, DA, because it makes me think of, there was a legendary Dutch soccer coach named Johan Cruyff. And he was famous for having kind of Yogi Berra-isms, kind of fun sayings about the game. And one thing that he said was, every disadvantage has an advantage. And that applies here, because a week ago, we gave Kelsey Mayer a chokedown and we clowned on her for this "we need to talk" note that she left. And she deserved that. It was a boneheaded move at a critical juncture. And I stand by that. But she took that disadvantage and she made it into an advantage. She made that into a heat check. She made that into a moment where seeing how petrified Joey looked at the prospect of him thinking that he was about to lose her. And keep in mind, this is a lead who drew a very hard line on not saying "I love you" until the very last moment of the tournament. She used his reaction to that as the validation, and it gave her the confidence that she needed to go through to the end and to realize, he's really afraid to lose me. I really might actually be the number one seed in his eyes. And you look at how this game played out. Kelsey, she played with joy, like she had nothing to lose. Her eyes were on the prize. And Daisy, meanwhile, if you can knock her for anything, when you're in that number one spot, you can either look ahead to the finish line or you can make the mistake of looking over your shoulder. And Daisy did the latter. She got caught looking over her shoulder a little bit, where Kelsey just looked beyond her to the finish line.
I need to play devil's advocate on you two rose-colored jabronis right now, because to me, it just feels like Occam's razor, and you guys are missing the poorly timed forest for the trees. I think the note was ref interference, trying to fill time, not of any importance at all. They just needed a cliffhanger, and they didn't have one solidly built into it, and they decided, let's just do this to get us to women's tell-all. What I think clinched it for her was what happened a few hours later when they actually, clinched fantasy. After the fantasy suites were done, and we're talking about the stuff we didn't see, I think that's it. Now that my wheels are turning, I'm thinking about what's the difference between Kelsey and Daisy. It's stuff we'll never know.
Well, Zach,
it's stuff that happened behind those doors.
I mean, you could very well be right that note, it might have been ref interference. It might have been Kelsey playing with her food because she was so confident. But the bottom line is, when Maria tried to pull a hijack, Joey didn't love it, but he kind of patiently heard her out and was like, okay, like if this is what you need to do, I guess I'll accept that. But when he thought Kelsey was pulling a hijack, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He was frozen with fear. And that, to me, regardless of how it got to that point, that gave Kelsey the confidence she needed to go forward without getting an L bomb from him.
They were different kinds of hijacks, though. One was a hijack and one was like a
pump fake.
It was like a pleading for your life moment. One of them was like, I'm coming here to be an assassin. And then one of them was literally at a rose ceremony being like, please let me stay. It's different dynamics, different power dynamics were at play. I agree with you somewhat, but yeah, they're just different. You're comparing apples to oranges right now, Wally. We got to move on because we're fucking hyped tonight. We got a lot to cover.
Before we do, there's one more thing that I think is worth bringing up about the scheduling of these dates. I thought was very interesting, because for the Meet the Family dates, traditionally, those will be filmed on separate days so that the family has a chance to rest. But in this case, they just went back to back in the same afternoon. And Kelsey was at a disadvantage in that regard, having to go second because the family's tired, but they've just spent several hours filming with Daisy at this point. They've been sharing tears together, putting a lot of emotion into it. They're exhausted. And so I think give Kelsey a ton of credit for bringing the energy to that date, for being as electric as she was, for keeping the family engaged. And in my opinion, basically securing a draw in that moment. She was just as good as Daisy, if not better. And then on the flip side of it, with the last chance dates, that was where Kelsey, I feel like, had a major advantage, because she gets this spa date where you're laughing with facial masks and getting pedicures and rubbing each other and being sexy and laughing and having fun. Whereas Daisy runs into this buzzsaw of the spiritual cleanse where you have smoke flying in your eyes and you want to get things off your chest and you don't have the chance to. And whereas Kelsey was able to work her disadvantage into an advantage, Daisy, I think she just ran out of steam at that point, and she wasn't able to move past it, because by the time it got to her final plea, when she's sitting down with Joey in the night portion, she was just going in circles. And she just sounded like, you've changed my life. And again, I'm really grateful for this, and I'm really happy to be. There was nothing left in the chamber, and that's not her fault. but she was just out of steam at that point. Whereas Kelsey looked like she could have done it all again the next day and had plenty of, she had plenty left in the tank.
We're so not simpatico tonight, Michael Wallace. I thought that Daisy's I love you speech at the end of the night is a speech that's going to be written about in history books.
Really?
It was one of the cleanest. Yes, it was. I mean, we're looking at it. Hindsight's 2020. We're looking at it through, you know, shit colored glasses because of what, how the end of the night ended. But if you look back on that and thinking that she got the ring, she's that I love you speech. It was literally the way she towed the line between vulnerability and horniness and the level of, and the, like the way she used eye contact and also didn't use it. It was like a perfectly cooked dish. It was absolutely balanced in every way. If we hadn't been distracted by the ending and her pull, I believe even in that moment, she's like, all right, I actually think I might lose this game, but I'm going to play the smartest, you know, 2-minute offense I can play right now. And she pulled it all. She left it all on the floor. There was nothing she could have done in that moment to change Joey's mind, and she knew it. But she's like, I'm going to put on some fireworks so these people know that next season that I'm nobody to fuck
with. She definitely left it all on the floor, but if it's, maybe it was a perfectly cooked dish, but it was a dish that we had just had the night before and then the night before that. Yeah. She needed a curveball. She needed something new, and there was nothing left. She couldn't reach for a curveball.
Let me call this out right now. Wally, you know this because I messaged you the moment it happened. I said, I put it in my notes here. I said, I'm saying this right now, and I'm going to message Michael Wally. Mark the time, 9:06 p.m. West Coast time, when I said to myself out loud, in front of my pesto ziti chicken pasta that I made for myself, that Daisy is going to be the bachelorette after Joey didn't return the I love you. And I said, I called it then so that if it would have happened, I would have looked like Babe Ruth. It didn't happen. But I'm going to contend with that moment. And I'm going to say that she didn't become the bachelorette then. Her legacy is going to continue. I guarantee it. In my mind, though, that finale that she had was the greatest game a bachelorette ever played. Or the greatest game of Bachelor ever played. That was the best 2 minutes we've ever seen on the show in terms of offensively. You guys are just too blind.
I don't know about that.
Stricken up by hindsight.
I will say, I don't know if it even mattered because I feel like Joey had kind of made up his mind already. And I think, again, Daisy knew it. I think it was, you know, it was a valiant effort. She was 300 Spartans going up against a million Persians. She knew she was going to die.
That's what it is. That's a perfect analogy. We're talking about the Somethingopolis, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, but yeah. I think I'm gonna do my best Bill Simmons and make some betting rules because I now have two ironclad rules for myself. One, for the finale, if the lead says about one of the contestants to his parents, you're gonna love her, they're cooked.
Yeah.
They're done. That's rule number one. Rule number two, in the flip side, while he's talking about that, those dual dates, if you have a final date with some type of spiritual shaman cleansing thing, you're cooked. You're done.
Yeah, the shaman's the Grim Reaper in the BCU.
It's tough to dehydrate someone that much before such an important time on the field. You know what I mean? Like, that seems like it's almost cheating.
It's just such an awkward... I don't know what they're trying to do there. I mean, you know, like, I get it if it's your, like, you know, date, you know, in week three and you're doing a little gag. But right before the final whistle, you're doing a thing where your romance is, you know, there's just some random dude right there rubbing twigs on you.
Yeah.
How do you work with that?
I stand by what I said, because with all that taken into account, she still pulled off the performance we saw. Which was, in any other season, would have been thought of as, like, maybe one of the best one-on-one times you've ever
seen. Yeah, and Zach, I want you to understand, I think that Daisy played a great game all the way to the end. I just think that Kelsey had more in the tank that to help her get to the end and get the final rose.
She's the sun and the moon and the goddess of all things, Wally. I don't give a fuck what you say. Daisy's the best player we ever had.
Well, on that note, fuck you, Wally. Next segment.
I'll take it. And based on how the last chance dates went, it ended up being no surprise that Joey chose Kelsey over Daisy. But what was a surprise, and you might say a shocking one, came when Daisy showed up at Kelsey's door prior to the rose ceremony to get the confirmation she needed that Joey was choosing Kelsey. And this was followed by the two of them riding hand in hand like Thelma and Louise in the white SUV to the pedestal. So, guys, what do you make of Daisy's unprecedented late game strategy that we saw, and what effect do you think this will have on future championship games?
I do think that there's been this push for, you know, especially amongst the women, but for a long time, as we've been covering the show, honestly, since to me, the catalyst was Hannah B's season. I feel like Luke P united the clubhouse against him. And from then on, it's always been about, you know, we're friends. The mantra, I'm not here to make friends, no longer applies in modern Bachelor or Bachelorette. The clubhouse camaraderie is huge to your key to victory. And I just think that this is the natural evolution of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Saying I'm not here to make friends in this day and age with so many simpatico clubhouses, it almost like when someone says it almost sounds like someone saying the bee's knees or something like that, where it's like what generation are you from? Like that's a great point that it's outdated at this point, and it's evolved in a way where clubhouses want to get along, mostly because it's just way easier when everyone gets along. It's way easier to get through the marathon.
Also, the way Daisy went out too was just so classy, you know. It was a matter of like, even though Kelsey won the season, I felt like Daisy won at that point. Once Daisy walked off the beach, to me it felt like, okay, I almost turned off the TV. I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I know what's happening next. I get it. I know every beat that we're about to see up until the Bachelorette announcement. Between then and there, like that, those last few minutes when she was on the couch and she declined the offer, it truly did feel like George Washington walking off after 8 years, getting on his horse and going to Mount Vernon to make wine. Because it's like she could have been king. She could have been queen if she wanted to. She could have ran this whole place.
Yeah,
God damn it.
I mean, I love this whole game, especially the second half of this date was so captivating for so many reasons. First of all, the audible gasp in the live audience when Daisy knocked on the door and it was Kelsey answering the door and not Joey. And that followed by seeing these two top tier competitors who've had this epic back and forth battle all throughout the season, just riding hand in hand into the sunset together and supporting each other all the way to the end and to the final whistle. That was some of the best television that Big Bachelor has ever produced. And they deserve a ton of credit for that. And I think it's all a great look for Kelsey. She comes across as a very, very humble, very gracious winner. And for Daisy, it's an even better look because she proved that, kind of like in basketball with the great players, when their shot isn't falling, they still find other ways to impact the game. And similarly, I feel like Daisy proved with this late game strategy of hers and how unique that was, that you can enhance your legacy in the finals even when your shot isn't falling. I mean, the dates that she had, her family date was good. The last chance date, especially by her standards, was subpar and she was struggling to score. But what does she do? She finds the most gracious, the most elegant form of "you can't fire me, I quit" that we have ever seen in the BCU. That cemented her. That took her from an all-time great to a legend. That cemented her legacy in that way. And that move, I think, is a move that players for years to come are going to try to emulate, that runners up to come are going to try to emulate.
Yeah, it's a classy way to just end it. You know, it's like taking a knee. It's just being respectful almost now, the way we see it. I'm going to talk more about it later, but just this whole season, I think, has made the show turn a corner in terms of etiquette and in terms of classiness. And I'll say the same for Joey. I mean, he didn't have maybe a perfect season in my mind, but compared to how tough we are on leads, I think he did a pretty damn good job of, you know, not becoming a villain and being respectful the entire time.
He's literally like the only Bachelor we've covered who didn't end up being a villain.
Yeah.
The Batman quote is wrong. Yeah.
He's like the one Bachelor we've covered who's avoided screwing the pooch by the end of it.
Part of that is thanks to Daisy for kind of putting on herself at the end and not making him go through with it. I think if he was the one to tell her that, you know, I'm actually not going to pick you and have to say Daisy, all those things and the vows and the fact that she interrupted him and kind of and took it out during her own vows to quit helped it a little bit. But with that said, I think he played a damn near perfect game. And she, man, we'll talk about it more, but I can't wait to see Daisy and whatever she does. I'm going to buy her books.
Yeah, and even when Joey was preparing himself to lower the boom before he knew that Daisy was going to cut him off, it was tough to watch, and it was going to be even tougher to watch if he kept going. But I think he was going about it the right way. as well as you could. Right. But then Daisy interrupting and handling that the way she did, it was just so classy and ingenious. And again, I think players who see the writing on the wall are going to try to copy this move in the finals. And the question I have is, does Big Bachelor want that? Do they want this emulated? Do they want this to be the norm? Or do they want this to be one-time lightning in a jar? I know that they're thrilled that it played out this way last night, but in terms of it happening again, after on the heels of Leslie, this is the second consecutive time that a runner-up got out ahead of the pedestal. And in the same way that hijacks around 2018, 2019, when smart players started realizing, wait a second, if the lead likes me enough, maybe I don't have to wait for the pedestal. Maybe I can try to hijack it right here, right now. And then hijacks became a big part of the game. Similarly, I feel like runners up are starting to realize, wait a second, maybe I can avoid the embarrassment of having to put on an $8,000 dress and be humiliated up on the pedestal. And I don't know if Big Bachelor wants that. I feel like they like that moment.
I don't know. I think they should want that. I feel like the thing that, you know, about their show, a major flaw in their formula is that at the end of every season, you basically kill old Yeller. Like you set up this really sad story and then you have your hero and then he goes, it's not going to be you. And you just leave, you know, it's hard to say fairy tale ending after you follow someone, you know, so closely and you get emotionally invested and you just see them crushed.
I agree with you, Wally. I think it is a funny thing that we've just sort of accepted over the last 20 odd years. But to me, I mean, if I'm being cynical, just looking at the numbers of this season, I think they want to copy exactly what just happened over and over again, because it was such a dynamic season. It was a highly rated season. I mean, all of our leads had absolutely astonishing Instagram growth, according to, like, you know, friend of the show Bachelor data. Like, there's just so many things about this season that are historical, and I can only imagine that Big Bachelor wants to continue that. However, I do agree with you, Duddy. The only thing that gives me pause with that is, say that does become the norm, where does it end? Do we now, with Fantasy Suite Night, be like, oh, we can tell you like this girl, you know, I you know, week 8 before hometown's like, I don't want this creep to meet my parents. Like, right. He obviously likes this blonde lady, you know, he likes Jessica's S or whatever the fuck. That could be where we end up with this, and that becomes a slippery slope. And then why even play the game? Let's just go to
Love. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if you're in the final two, I think it's very, you know, it's not jarring to lay down your king.
That feels like taking a knee in the, you know, the last 30 seconds of the game, no timeouts. What we're talking about, what I'm talking about is like almost being like, why are we doing this, guys? Like, why are we even playing this game? You know, it's like taking a knee when everyone has, you know, everything's still on the field and there's still plenty of time to come back. And, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know. I get worried about that. I might be screaming. What's the word for it when you're not sure about something like this? Anyway.
Dumb?
It's going to be good. Yeah, yeah.
Screaming dumb.
Yeah, I'm screaming dumb right now. There's a word for it. It's not whistling, but I don't know.
Whistling Dixie,
I guess. Yeah, I'm crying wolf a little bit, like, oh, this thing's gonna happen, but it probably won't. But who knows? We'll see. This is a perfect episode. Let's get to the next segment, Wally. What's going on?
If players do try this in the future, try to replicate this. There's something that they have to keep in mind, because when Daisy cut Joey off and pulled this move, I want to hear if you guys experienced this at all. For me, a chill went down my spine, because I thought to myself, what if she's wrong? What if she misread it? What if she goes through this whole speech of like, you're not going to choose me, so I'm going to go. And then Joey says, well, actually, I was going to choose you, but now you already said you want to go, and I can't just hand this ring off to the person who I was about to let go. So now I'm fucked and there's no one to choose.
No,
it shows how
people have to be really careful of that.
I feel like the way she worded it, though, like, I think if she had said, you're not going to choose me, so fuck you, and I've always thought your face was dumb and ugly, then, yeah, he's going to go, okay, never mind. I'm glad, you know, I dodged a bullet. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the Claire Crawley thing with Juan Pablo almost.
Right.
Where she kind of, in a weird way, vindicated him. It made him go, oh, like, I mean, it was a strong moment for Claire, but it was also a moment for Juan Pablo to be like, yeah, maybe this wasn't who I wanted to be with after all, you know?
Yeah, I think my choice was justified based on what I just
right.
spent that last minute there.
But Daisy kind of left it, you know, open in the romance novel for him to say, no, no, it's you. It's always been you, and run after her. And then I think, that would have also been a fantastic ending.
That's true also, because we saw on the couch at the end of it, that was one of the most cordial final couch meetups that we've ever seen. You know, there was like very little even heartbreak that was registered at the moment. Like, she had already processed it and felt like she was really ready to move on, and that they were friends. And if it had gone down differently with Kelsey, if Kelsey had then denied him after she left, which is something I thought was going to happen after Daisy, left herself, I wouldn't be like, I would have thought if Joey ended up with nobody, the way that Daisy left it, he would have ended up with her on the couch. Do you know what I mean? They would have reconnected yeah. then, because the vibe, it feels like the spark is still there, and she just didn't want to be, you know, woman number two, obviously, which is still flabbergasting that she was, but it makes sense. Kelsey is an underrated competitor. She's really good. I mean, she's like the New York Giants, you know? It was a helmet catch.
Ouch.
Yep.
I don't love the analogy, but I agree with you guys that this was a fantastic championship game. And we get just an unforgettable ending from it. And that means it's the end of the fantasy season too. But Max Singer never stops working. He's got one more trick up his sleeve as we look ahead to Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelorette with Jen. Here he is, the talented Mr. Rosé, Max Singer, with your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those tits and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy?
Another season in the books, Bachelor Nation. Thank you so much to everyone who played alongside the Bachelor Zone on Batch Live app, and congratulations to this season's fantasy winner, Dahlia Hawthorne. With the finale behind us, I wanted to offer my rapid-fire reactions from this episode. More Joeys. Not in a literal cloning way, but more emotionally intelligent short kings with golden retriever energy. I don't think another ex-NFL practice squad bachelor will do after Joey. We're really going to squeeze all the juice out of Golden Bachelor, aren't we? Susan and Kathy feel destined to show up on Paradise at this rate and make jokes about tanning oil. Daisy is a star, and I hope the person who made the call to swap the roses out for daisies for her couch time is proud of themselves. Seeing a Vanderpump Rules spinoff for Hulu being promoted by Jesse during the Bachelor finale was jarring, and I forget just how much Disney owns sometimes. I do fear inevitable reality crossover on the horizon. And finally, I'm excited for Jen, but am begging the producers to find something more for her than she's funny. Her describing her perfect night as her and a guy just making fun of one another gave me pause, and just the thought of 28 self-described funny guys competing for her love sounds absolutely awful. So that's all for this season, folks. And as always, I'm the talented Mr. Rosé, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Max. We're going to take a quick break. More Bachelor Zone coming up right after this. Hey, what's going on, fellas? Spring break's knocking on the door. You know what that means. It's time to upgrade that below-the-belt game of yours. The real flex this year is keeping your boys downstairs fresh and clean, because nobody wants to be the guy with a pube fiesta, right? That's why our buddies over at Manscaped created the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the ultimate weapon to tame those unruly bushes. So before you hit that pool party or beach party or whatever party you're off to, make sure your boys are groomed to perfection by joining the Manscaped Revolution, going to manscaped.com. That'll get you 20% off and free shipping on your order with the code ZONE3, that's ZONE and the number 3.
You guys want to hear a funny story about me nicking my balls?
Sure.
I used to be a skateboarder, and I tried to do what was called back in the day a hard flip. Now, those not ingratiated to the culture, a hard flip is when you like flip the board in between your legs. But me, little 12-year-old Zach, flipped it right on the nards.
Yikes.
And I got a little gash. I thought I had ripped open my balls, and I think I screamed at the time. I said, "I ripped my balls!" But I didn't actually rip my balls. I checked them out, and they were okay. But since then, I was terrified to use anything sharp down there. I was sort of traumatized until these wonderful, wonderful Manscaped trimmers. The Package 5.0 Ultra Manscaped boxers and shed travel bag that come with it have absolutely made me feel like $1 million. And it's just great, you know? Like, they just make it great all the time. The skin-safe technology will make me never yell, "Oh, no, my balls!"
DA, folks, how can people conquer their fears and conquer their bushes?
Yeah, folks, don't use a skateboard to shave your balls. Use Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. Manscaped, for when you want to be caught with your pants around your ankles.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Day Spa Face Masks. Totally worth the 15-yard penalty. So, guys, we just got a classic championship game. Great battle on both ends of the floor. Let's look at the defensive end. Zach, kick us off. Who gets your Steal of the Night for this epic championship game?
We talked about it a little bit before that this season has really kind of righted the ship in a lot of ways. I felt that so much has gotten back to, not, I don't want to say normal, because nothing was ever, you know, history is always moving forward in one direction, and I don't want to say that we're going back to a better time, because I think that's always a fallacy, but I think, especially the end of the episode this season, completely kind of opened a new era, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to the person who I'm going to give a lot of the credit to for this, changing it. And I know this is very unprecedented, just like the night last night was. This might be the most unprecedented thing I've done in this segment. I'm going to go ahead and give it to the main ref, new female Canadian nice producer Claire Friedland, the woman lifting up other women, coming down from the north to take over the reins from our problematic creator. And she's absolutely revolutionized the franchise with all this new wave of niceness. I'm going to call it the Claire Niceness era, because things are just a lot, you know, not necessarily like cleaner game or anything. There's still plenty of excitement and mudslinging and whatever. But I just feel like overall, she's made the game classy again and nice to watch. People are used to be embarrassed, and now you can, you know, when young kids want to enter the sport of competitive dating, it doesn't have like a low rent sheen to it anymore. It's really a classy thing, you know. And I put it completely on her and her Canadian, also just all the love for Alberta now. She absolutely just came down and took it, you know. It's beautiful to see. Claire Friedland, you deserve it.
Based on your build-up, I was nervous you were going to say there's one person responsible for the success this season, and that is Lauren, the sister from Philly. But great, yeah, great shout. I think the referees in the post-Fleiss era are doing a phenomenal job overall, and yeah, great shout for the head of the officiating group, Claire Friedland, doing a great job in her new role. And yeah, it seems like we're in an era of good feelings with the BCU, and you hope it lasts, and it seems like it will with this new leadership in place. DA, who gets your steal of the night?
For me, I kind of have a similar thing where I'm not giving it to any of the contestants on the field. I think, they mostly played, you know, defenseless ball. I think it was already settled. For me, I'm giving it to Susan and Kathy for, I think, fully, you know, they are now the face of over 65 or over 55 competitive speed dating. They dismantled Askin. It's now SK, and they run the ship anyway. That, like, long after, you know, when we go 10 seasons deep on Golden Bachelor, Golden Bachelorette, I think they're still going to be the foremothers that the show kicks to. And that was their, I mean, they have the podcast to prove it. If anything, right now, the biggest defensive play is them on us. Just one more fucking Bachelor podcast to compete with. and they seem formidable. So, hats off to them.
Yeah, goddamn it, we've got more competition out there, and yeah, I think they're going to be worthy competitors. Sorry, Zach, what were you going to say?
Oh, I said I'm subscribed already, or followed. I follow them. I'm ready to. Sorry, guys, I'm not jumping ship or anything. I just, you know, want to see what's going on.
No, here. I get it. Yeah, so we got one vote for Big Bachelor ref Claire Friedland, and one for formerly known, or half of Askin, playing at half mast now. I feel like this was a very offensive heavy game, but there's a defensive play that you guys are missing. And the reason you're missing it is because it came across as so kind-hearted visually. And for me, it was when Daisy showed up at Kelsey's door and Kelsey's dressed like a swan in that white feathery dress, right? Ready to take up the mantle, to grab that championship ring, looking like Tiger Woods in red on a Sunday. And Daisy says, how did your date go? And this was the ultimate lob. This was the ultimate alley-oop pass. And Kelsey slammed it down for the dunk in the nicest, most polite way possible to stick the nail in Daisy's coffin and say, yeah, I'm the one. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I got the validation that you didn't get. Your season's over. And as Ellen from Golden Bachelor said during the pickleball date, hasta la vista, baby, you are done.
Well said, Wally. Well said. No, I think you're right, 100%.
So
it's a nice deal.
We got three really nice deals here. We're going to need your help breaking the tie. Who do you think deserves steal of the night for this incredible championship game that we got? Let us know on our social media at Bachelor Zone Pod. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that. But in the meantime, let's look at the other side of the ball. There's so much pressure during the championship game, and not everybody handles it well. We're going to be talking about that next as we hand up the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor Choketown.
Hear ye, hear ye. I pronounce thee the Mayor of Choketown.
Mayor Choketown brought to you this week by Awkward Studio Audience Silence. So it was a great night for a lot of players out there handling the pressure well, but not everybody did. Not everyone thrived under the bright lights. DA, kick us off. Who gets your keys to the city of Choketown for this last game of the season?
I mean, this is a crazy thing to say, but I feel like this was a chokeless performance. You know, it would be easy to give it to Daisy, but I don't think that's what happened here. I think that everyone just kind of played their hearts out, played their best. So here is who I'm going to give this to. I'm giving this to, what's his name? Me, because I can't remember his name. Reality like? Steve.
Oh, there you go.
Who called Daisy as the winner.
Oh, did he really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And in doing so, I think hopefully made his word less legitimate and maybe gave, you know, hopefully people will stop giving him a platform, because it fucking sucks to go, you know, anytime you Google the show, trying to avoid Bachelor and Bachelorette spoilers is the hardest thing in the world.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't able to watch this episode live last night, mm-hmm. for reasons that I will get to very soon and left unsaid.
Oh, man.
But mm-hmm. the moment I clicked on Facebook, immediately the memes were there. The moment I clicked on, I went, oh, God, and I went to Instagram, I was already spoiled by who the next Bachelorette would be. You just, even week one of the season, you click on an article, you know, you just want to like find out, you know, what so-and-so's last name is. The first line is Reality Steve says that blah, blah, blah. And you just have to like,
right.
It's really hard to be, you know, a clean pundit in this. So fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And fuck you. And you got it wrong.
I'm okay with giving it to Reality Steve.
I love that. Yeah. Because Reality Steve, he's right up there with Skip Bayless on my list of sports commentators that I really wanted them to pack it up and just never have to hear from them ever again. So I love that we're giving Reality Steve a reality check tonight by handing him a key to the city of Choketown, courtesy of Daniel A. Duddy. Zach, who gets your key to the city this week?
You know, Duddy was hinting at this. He like walked right up to the edge and then he turned around and jumped in the Reality Steve pool because he's a coward, but I'm going to actually do it. This was a perfect game and I put it on my notes so you know I'm not just flip-flopping right now to make fun of Duddy or make him look like a wimp. I said, Mayor Choketown, this week, in honor of this uplifting and unprecedented finale in terms of graciousness, kindness, hope, and people lifting up one another, I am going to give it to nobody.
Wow.
No one is Mayor Choketown this week. It's unprecedented in our 8 years almost of doing the show, or seven, whatever it is. No one's ever not given a Mayor Choketown, but I'm going to make it tonight. I'm not giving Mary Mary a choke town to anyone.
Wow, we got a bachelor zone first here. We've got one of us abstaining from the key to the city. Fascinating.
Zach's leaving.
It's riding off into the sunset on that. I saw this as virtually a perfect game, almost perfect, because I'm not going to be so gracious. I have a couple things I want to call out. First of all, I have kind of an annual tradition during the Fleiss era, as listeners know, of giving Mayor Choketown to Big Bachelor for ref interference. And I'm not going to do that this year because they did, largely speaking, a phenomenal job this season. I'm highly bullish on the way they've gone about things in their future, how inane drama has been kept to a minimum, how there's been great gameplay. However, I am going to give them an honorable mention because they have continued this baffling annual tradition of theirs of someone up in the clock tower fucking up during the finale. You guys didn't see it on the West Coast. They probably fixed it by then. But on the East Coast, once again, we had a major flub with the broadcast. This time it was when Daisy arrived to meet the family. There was, for 15 seconds, there was an echo of audio overlapping what she was saying and live in the moment. And it was very confusing and unacceptable. I want another head to roll for that. And I don't get why Big Bachelor keeps messing up on the biggest stage like this. But here's who I am going to give it to, because this was, on a night of very good feelings, this stuck in my craw. This kind of left me with a pit in my stomach. I was pleasantly shocked and so excited when Jen was announced as the next Bachelorette. And how wonderful that it's the first Asian American lead and that we've got someone who's really talented and charming in that spot. I continue to love the pick. But to borrow a phrase from the locals here in the NYC area, her interview was horrible. It was so bad. She came across like a total ditz. She went for a double entendre that didn't even get so much as a chuckle from the studio audience. And then Jesse brought up her catchphrase that she brought up at the All-Star game of ferocious love. And she just negated it. She goes, yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about when I said that. I don't even know what that means. And this is the lead that we have after a lead who was arguably the most intentional, or as Kelsey might say, most intentful lead that we've ever had. And so now what, we just, on the heels of that, we just have someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, who just talks out of their ass and shoots first and asks questions later.
It was rocky. I made it in my notes. I said, oh, this interview gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah.
She's having a tough time. It's a huge stage, first of all. She went from, you know, one season on, going right into the lead, which isn't unusual, but it's, you know, it's a big deal. She's got a lot on her shoulders. I think if she took a breath and she had been coached up a little bit better and said, hey, breathe while you're up there, try to take in the moment, because she started like that. She started when she was saying how important it was that she, you know, finally, she didn't see herself a lot on TV when she was a kid, yada, yada. All
that part
stuff
was really good.
She felt really, really
offensive. She did, like, she did have Jen great moments so great. Like that. Yeah, it wasn't without those moments.
And then, I don't know if it was coaching or if it was her idea and she didn't have anyone to coach her differently, to go into that shot thing and to go into all the things you're talking about, the double entendre, like, I want a guy with the big, 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 whatever,
yeah,
all that, I was like, you just completely kind of just took all the wind out of your sails, and I'm worried about it. However, I think it was just a case of just having the yips on a big stage at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, she just, it was huge. You could feel the nervousness coming off of her. She's got all off season to get it together, take an improv class, get, you know, feel a little more comfortable with public speaking. I bet you by the time we see her in front of the limo, she's going to be solid.
I'm kind of with Wally on this one, actually. I kind of forgot how bad that was. Shot o'clock needs to be immediately retired. That was cringy as hell. Yeah, the double entendre was, it made me furious. It was so lame. And this was someone who I, if not for Maria, this was the person who I wanted to be Bachelorette. And the fact that Jesse then kicked to Maria, almost a spit in our eye, after Jen just completely bombed.
Yeah.
Like, and like, see, this is who you could have. Maria, what do you think?
You thought it was that?
Did you guys? It really just rubbed salt in the wound and kind of made it worse. So I don't know. I think Jen has a lot to do. I think it's an honor. It's a definitely it's a valid pick for mayor of Choketown. Does it mean that she's going to absolutely suck? No. Zach, I do agree with you. She can get trained up, but this, that was a Choketown worthy interview for sure.
Did you guys catch when they cut to when Jen was announced? The first cut to the audience was actually to Rachel. And they did it when Daisy was brought out as well. And before she denied it, it cut to Rachel both times as if Rachel was like at the Oscars and she was on one of the cameras that didn't win the Oscar. You know what I mean? She kind of had a look on her face like, what? Like, I think when Daisy came out, she mouthed what next to her. And then when it cut to Jen, she was applauding, but she didn't seem happy. And it was very interesting because everyone around her was kind of hooting and hollering and smiling. And I wonder if it was on purpose. I don't know. I don't know if I want to read too much into it, but
that's an interesting observation. Cause I had the same thought. I think when Daisy came out, because I actually got confused by that too. I thought that they were saying like, it's going to be Daisy. And so I think Rachel just got confused. Like, wait a second. That's not what I heard through the grapevine. What's going on right now? I think,
you know what? That's a good reading too. Yeah. That makes sense. That checks out. Cause her look was like, wait, her, you know?
Right.
But I think it's like, oh, we were just talking to Jen backstage and she's the bet, you know? Yeah. That makes more sense. And maybe she just got messed up with the stage direction of everything between that and the sound guy at stage 22 at Warner Brothers, man, heads are going to be rolling.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair to Jen, I think this moment might have come to her as kind of a surprise in the last couple of days, because we had her as like the third or fourth most likely on our list when we were musing about who might get this role. I think Vegas had her at the third highest odds. So she was kind of thrust into this maybe unexpectedly. And she definitely seemed unprepared for the moment, maybe because of that. If I were coaching her, I would love to be her coach. I think she's a fantastic player and great attitude. What I would say to her is, look, just be yourself, be more of the person we saw on the couch at the All-Star game. And, in the moments when you were talking about your family and being vulnerable on the couch last night, and no more dick jokes ever again. We need to go to some comedy clubs and work on that. But until we work on a little bit, none of those. So bad start for Jen, but I think that she's going to do a great job. I'm excited about her future. And let's wrap up tonight by looking ahead to the future with Jen's prospects, with the legacies of Kelsey, Daisy, and Joey, with Ja-Kelsey or Jealousy, whatever you want to call them as a couple. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's time for Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road brought to you this week by March Madness. It's Shot O'Clock Somewhere. So let's start out with our champions. We've got Joey and Kelsey getting the ring from each other. Zach, is this union playing for the Ring the Rose of the Road?
I actually think so. Watching them after he proposed and all that, and I think this is another side effect, not to just lay all the you know, the flowers on Daisy's thing, but of having such a classy ending, is there's no bad blood. It doesn't feel like it came from like, oh, you were in another relationship that didn't work out and now we're together. You know, it felt like there was blessings all around, and it they have a lot of momentum going into it. I think the fact that they both seem pretty transient right now, like I think Kelsey sounded like she wanted to be at least able to get to New Orleans easily. I don't think Hawaii was on the table for them. But the fact that they're both already planning to move to New York, I got high hopes for them. I got high hopes for those kids. I'm going to give them the ring.
DA, is the happy couple going to remain happy? Ring, Rose, or Road?
Smart money says Road.
Wow.
I like them, so I'll give them Rose. But I don't know. I feel like they're both so young. And they have this youthful energy that makes me think that I don't know that they're gonna. I do see Joey being the type of guy to be like, hey, this is what I want. I'm gonna go for it. He seems more family man oriented, but it's just really hard. The fact that they're moving to New York makes me think, you know, if they were moving to, you know, Denton, Texas, then I would be like, okay, yeah, maybe this is the ring. But no, they're going to pursue their Instagram careers. That it's It's like, you know, Magic Johnson going to the NBA. It's only going to get harder to, you know, keep a, I guess in the end he did stay with Cookie. So I don't know. but there was a lot of detours along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
that's my point.
It depends on
legendary number of detours.
It doesn't necessarily depend on the city. It depends. I know what you mean though, Duddy. It feels to me like people when they move to LA or something, or it depends on where they move in New York, and it depends on what they're doing with their days. If they are trying to, you know, get to the hustles, Joey, I mean, I'm sure it's a great place to coach tennis, New York City. There's plenty of affluent folks who want to learn how to whack a ball with a net or with a racket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, and you could find jobs around. So it's, I don't know. I'm still feeling bullish on them, but I see your hesitancy given their age.
Yeah. I'm giving them a very strong rose. The reason that I'm not giving them the ring, Daddy, I think you nailed it on the head, was first of all, I thought, why NYC? That seems like an influencer move as opposed to a couple move. And secondly, yeah, Kelsey is a very young 25. She just took a fully developed frontal cortex off the lot for a spin. I know from personal experience, I learned a ton about myself between 25 and 30, and I was a totally different person by the end of that. But that being said, and again, credit Big Bachelor for this in the post-Fleiss era, this is the fourth time in four tries that we've seen this love that kind of jumps off the screen and that passes the eye test and looks like it's strong enough to go the distance. So I'm cautiously optimistic about them. Again, why New York? But wherever they go, it seems like the love between them is strong and could last. How about Kelsey as an individual player? What's her BCU legacy? DA, is she playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think she's a ring player. I mean, you know, we talked Daisy all freaking season. And this, you know, we made an absolute mountain out of her, and Kelsey scaled it. And you have to give her flowers for that. I think in a lot of ways, actually, like, you know, there's been other players that we've pointed to all along that have had, you know, what we'd call dominant seasons. But it's so hard to tell, because if you're dominant, you know, what is the level of competition you're up against? We know that this group of women was so, 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 so strong. You could, I mean, honestly, they were like eight women deep, could have been, you know, a top two in almost any other season. Daisy, we said was a bachelor winner made in a laboratory.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Kelsey has to be Rocky beating Ivan Drago with that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You have to give her that this was an all-time season. So ring out the wazoo for me.
Yeah, went the distance against an all-time great and came out on top. Zach, does that make her worthy of the ring? Where does her legacy stand in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to be a sore loser, even though I had my money on Daisy, and I, you know, have been probably the most, you know, vocal about how big and great her legacy is, spoiler alert, for 2.5 minutes from now. But I think, I think she absolutely deserves the ring. She's great. She's a great player. I was trying to quickly Google who was the quarterback for the Giants that year, and I couldn't get it. So we'll just move
Eli
on.
Eli Manning.
That joke. All right. Eli Manning, that's right.
Yeah, I think we're, I'm going to move on very quickly from that. I think we're going to remember Kelsey as this outstanding scorer, basically scored at will the entire season. And, somebody who got off to a brutal start in the championship game, actually for the opening tip even happened with this, we need to talk note that kind of blew up in her face at the moment, but then makes that into a good thing, fights back, puts her foot back on the gas pedal en route to saving her very best for last and sealing the deal in triumphant fashion. And so, yeah, I think we got a Hall of Famer here, 5-tool player, all time great. Zach, I'll let you kick this one off. How about Daisy's individual legacy? Ring, ring, or ring?
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Went the trolley. Yeah. Pick up. One ring to rule them all. Yeah. Ringu, the Japanese one. No, I think truly, I can't be hyperbolic enough about what an incredible season Daisy had. And the way to end it like this, I mean, I was just, I mean, Duddy, or Wally, you can look at your text. I was glowing the whole night, yeah. The last 20 minutes of the episode. I just kept texting you, like, can you believe this? This is like how classy this lady is, you know? Mm-hmm. This is absolutely historical. I think it's so, her legacy is going to compound with whether or not she decides to be right off into the sunset. Like, oh my God, that was just such an incredible career cut short kind of thing from her own volition. Or if she does come back around, I want you guys to think about this. Week 3 of the Summer League, we're down in the beach. Everyone's already booed up. We got all the regular faces there. We got Maria. We got some old throwbacks. You know, we got different people coming from some seasons past. You know, Matt James shows up randomly for some reason. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on the island. And she walks down the stairs, the whole dynamic changes.
Yes.
She's a temperature-changing presence, no matter where she's going to end up.
The squawkaboli she would have on those stairs would be off the charts.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, like, if she wants to go to paradise, that's fine. If she wants to just lay the cocktail dresses up and just go write children's books, she's going to be a bestseller forever because she also has this huge fan base now that'll never leave her, and I'm myself included. Once I start deciding to make a human, I know what's going to be on my little shelf for my kid.
Zach, have you ever seen The Lobster?
Not yet.
I won't spoil it then. Never mind.
I really love the director of it, so I need to. Why?
It's too left long
unsaid.
A
left unsaid.
Left unsaid. Left unsaid.
DA, are you ringing back on Daisy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she absolutely will. I'm hopeful that they find a way to make her a bachelorette. I feel like she's too strong for paradise. I think this is one of the seasons where you pull multiple bachelorettes from. The fact I don't think that Maria didn't get it means that I don't think she ever will, or she will maybe in 8 years or something. But Daisy feels like someone to pull for next season. And I don't think anyone will be upset.
Yeah, I mean, considering the firepower that she brought to the table all throughout the season, and then just this genius and remarkably classy way that she went out, she cemented herself as a legend and a ring player in the BCU. And also, she put herself in this very enviable situation where she will get the invite to go down those paradise stairs anytime she wants to. And if there's a season of Bachelor in the near future, or at any time really, when there's kind of a lack of charisma in the clubhouse, and we've seen that happen before. Pilot Pete season, for example, no obvious bachelorette emerged, and so they went into the Rolodex, and Daisy's going to be the first name on that list for when they don't have options in the clubhouse at hand, if she wants to. And on the flip side, if she wants to, she could also go down as a Tyler Cameron, where she's one of those rare players in the BCU who left us wanting more. There are so many players who we love at first, but then they keep coming back and keep coming back, and they wear out their welcome. Daisy's in this rare position where she's like Mary Poppins flying off with an umbrella and kind of had a perfect ending. And really, the world is her oyster from here.
Yeah.
How about Joey's legacy in the BCU? DA, is it playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think we've got three rings in a row because Joey broke the streak of shitty bachelors. That's been going back now. I mean, you could argue, you know, everyone has their pick, but I mean, since as long as we've been covering the show, there hasn't been a quote good bachelor. And Joey was that. Probably yeah. Sean Lowe was the last good bachelor. I don't know. I think it's a game changer. I hope it kind of changes the franchise, that they look at the ratings, that they look at the success this season, and they start going, okay, like, let's take this mold. Because I think a lot of times what at least the old guard would do was they would say, let's either get a dirt bag, or B, take a regular guy and turn him into a dirt bag.
Right.
Because we know that will, the outrage will drive conversation. But you know what's better than outrage driving conversation is people appreciating a thing. you know,
right.
And liking it. I feel like,
and someone just being good at the objectively good at the game that they're playing.
Yeah. So I hope they take that. Right now, I feel like the model is the Bachelorette is can do no wrong and the Bachelor can do no right. I'd like to see that formula switched. I'd like to see them, you know, I think Jen is still kind of cast in the classic way. I don't want to see them dogpile on Jen, for example, but I'd love them in the future to bring a Maria in and then see, like, you know, how wild can we get this?
Mm-hmm.
That's another conversation. For now, I think Joey broke. He's a curse breaker. Huge ring.
Where do you stand on Joey, Zach? Game changer, merely game manager, ring rose or road?
He's fine. I'm going to give him a ring. I think he's good. I think he's good. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, it's
like a little sweetheart.
It's an interesting question because it seems to me like efficiency as the lead and entertainment value in the public's eyes, it's almost a mutually exclusive thing. It's hard and maybe even impossible to pull off both. Like, for example, the reason why Pilot Pete's season was so talked about and entertaining was because he was a historically inept, historically terrible bachelor and awful at the job. And on the flip side, Joey getting the boring accusations from some people in the public, to me, that's evidence that he steered the ship as well as anyone's ever done it. It's the most that I've enjoyed covering a bachelor in our time, and maybe the most I've enjoyed covering a lead in our time. We, based on how other bachelors, how their arcs have gone, we pose the question, all right, everyone loves Joey now. When's the moment coming when we turn on him? When's that going to happen? And that moment never came with the crowd, with Jesse, with the women in the clubhouse. They all loved him until the very end, and rightfully so. He didn't write a single check with his words that he couldn't cash with his actions, which I think is so commendable and so difficult to do. It's so rare. To me, the sports comp with him is like Floyd Mayweather or the Tim Duncan Spurs, where maybe they're not going to end up on a lot of top 10 highlight reels. But the reason for that is because they're so technically brilliant and masterful at the game from a technical standpoint. And in terms of player comps, I think that with Joey, we've got the new Sean Lowe here. We've got our new golden boy for the new generation. And finally, we talked about Jen a little bit. We didn't love the interview, but do we love her prospects as the next lead? Zach, ring rose or road?
I'm going to give her the ring. I don't mean to be so short with it. I just really want to hear Duddy's story, and we're on a tight timeline here. I got to give it to Jen, absolutely. I think she's going to do great. I don't want that one yippy, you know, nervous sort of first game to throw anything off. She's gonna be throwing heat all year. I think back to her first one-on-one date, and she's absolutely a killer. She's gonna be great.
Do you see the heat coming with Jen? Ring rose or road?
I'll give her a rose again. You know, before they made the announcement, before the women tell all, Jen was my preferred candidate for Bachelorette. And then I feel like Maria supplanted her in a big way, but I was still, I felt like the moment they announced Jen, I was like, oh, this is a decent consolation prize. And then she started speaking and the stock just continued to plummet.
Yeah.
I don't think it plummeted to the road level, but man, that felt like, you know, it was like watching, you know, there was some drunk aunt energy there. It was a little bit tough. I'm trying to be optimistic like Zach. Hopefully she turns it around.
Yeah, I remain excited and hopeful about this pick. Interview aside, this is a very talented player, obviously, who's a little inconsistent, and her season was kind of a case of diminishing returns. But we saw when she's at her best, she's electric and she's willing to take big swings, which I think both of those things are a great sign for her chances of being a great bachelorette. And again, she comes in that interview, she came across as, I don't want to say fake, but I will say very eager to please and very eager for people to like her. And so I hope with the media training that she does in the off season, they focus on just less people pleasing and more just being yourself and having fun and laying your walls down. So I'm at a rose right now, but if she does those things, I think she could be playing for a ring, just like our wonderful fans who check us out every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, we're there waiting for you. And we love it so much when you join. Thank you all so much for telling your friends about us, rating our show, reviewing it. All of that helps us grow, become better, become bigger, move up in the world of Bachelor Podcasts. And we can't thank you enough for that. We always love hearing from you on social media. Our handle for Instagram and TikTok is at BachelorZonePod. And by email, it's thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. Get at us anytime. We love hearing from you and love to chop it up with you. And very special thanks tonight for our beloved patrons over at patreon.com. Again, that's where you get all your exclusive Bachelor Zone content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So if you love us here, you might love even more of us on patreon.com/thebachelorzone. And now, finally, the last bit of business before we wrap up the season. You may have noticed that we weren't doing Batch Live announcements, and it's because it looks like that app has unfortunately gone under. There were some technical glitches that we never got to fix. So what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to name some co-champions. That's what we're doing, right, guys? We're doing the one who got our points taken away and then the one who ended up with the most points.
Right.
Is going to get a t-shirt. Right. Okay. So first of all, the book Rose, whose points just disappeared off the board. And that glitch never got fixed. That's one of our co-champions. And now for the top five finishers on the Batch Live app. Number five was Jack with 38.42. Number four, Mary-Kate M just ahead with 38.52. Number three was Zion, always in the race, this time coming in third with 38.78. Number two, last season champion Hot Tubbies, another commendable run with 38.80 points just ahead of Zion. And number one, another perennial powerhouse, Dahlia Hawthorne, finishing really strong with 39.65 points. So again, Book Rose and Dahlia Hawthorne, both of you get at us. Let us know what kind of t-shirt you want from our website, and we'll hook you up, and happy to do it. And so happy to have you guys join us this season. It was so much fun. Can't wait to have you join us for our Batch Awards and for Jen and maybe Golden Bachelorette whenever that comes out. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.